One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
All right, everybody. Well, hey.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Midwest Married, and we were recommended by a listener to talk about first impressions.
So here we are, about first impressions.
And we brought Ryan back.
Yep. Hey, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you
for joining us.
Heck yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. First impressions. You would think Reddit was full of first impression stories. I got three good ones.
We could get into like a lot of people have first impressions that they just don't share, like all of us.
However, we have lots of first impression stories among us. So we might just chit chat away and we have some.
It's a thing.
There's actually been a lot of articles written about first impressions that's been studied because people want to know, how do you make a good first impression? I think that that's also something, it's been well studied because there's money in it, right? You make a good first impression. If you're in sales, there's more money to be had.
Mm-hmm.
Things that there's money in, there's always more studies in, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And just prejudgment. Sometimes you are completely wrong. Like, that guy's an asshole.
Reddit was tough. That's all I'm saying. I'm just going to dive in and then we're going to get into the personal bits of it.
All right.
But I want to know. What do you guys think of the story?
Sure.
Am I the asshole for begging my girlfriend to uphold a sexist tradition just so she can make a good first impression?
Mm.
I'm curious. Here we go.
I have a big family that's incredibly close. We have big family dinners every few months where we all meet at my great-grandfather's estate and eat together. Typically, how this works is that the women go and cook for the time they're... It's already good.
Oh, boy.
Typically, how this works is that the women go cook for the time that they're there and the men don't, which I am fully aware is sexist as hell. That being said, I am one of the youngest people in the family and my protests mean literally nothing. Some of those women choose not to cook. However, this is usually met with a high level of ostracizing and criticism. The women who don't cook are wives or long-term girlfriends, so they kind of already have a good family relationship doctored in. When I have seen new partners not cook, it's gone bad, really bad. Like completely ostracized, not speaking, cattiness, rudeness, etc. This dinner will be in 2 weeks and my girlfriend was asked if she would attend. Initially, she said yes, which is great. I want for her to meet everyone and for everyone to get used to her being around. But when I explained to her the tradition, she was understandably bothered by this. I told her that I understood where she was coming from. I got it. However, it was best for everyone if she just played along. I told her this isn't a permanent thing and that I am only asking her to do this so she can avoid bad treatment from the rest of the family. This is her first impression, and I don't think it's the best if we cause waves. All around bad. She told me that this is unacceptable and that if she has to do that, she will not be going. I've tried to find a compromise with her, but she won't budge and she's pissed at me. She told me that if I think it's acceptable to make her do this, I'm just as bad as everyone else. While my point is that she needs to make a good first impression, am I the asshole here? In making her partake in this family tradition?
I would totally skip it. I would not go. I would for sure not go. It doesn't matter how much I like you. I'm skipping it. I'm going to meet your family one person at a time and make, you know, multiple small little first impressions. Why? So they can get to know me.
Because
I
can't
hate
cook.
Cooking. I'm not great at it. Nobody taught me really, like, love you, Mom, but we did a lot of, like, Sam's Club lasagnas growing up.
Those are good.
They're delicious. And she did some cooking as well, but, like, it's not my passion. I don't know what I'm doing. I hate having to pick something to even bring to events. It stresses me out. It's also very stressful, like cooking food for other people, because what if you screw it up and everybody is like, oh yeah, it's so good, but you know it really isn't.
What about the...
I have stress surrounding cooking for others.
What about not even cooking though, but the expectation that because you're a woman, you are cooking at this?
Well, of course there's that as well.
That's my thing. I was like, if I was her, I guess, I'd be like, wait, you want me to go to this first family gathering and I'm expected to cook because I'm a woman and I'm not a wife or long term? And like that alone right there for me, it was like, whoa, that's a big ask. If I was the male saying, so just so you know, this is the expectation of my family. Women cook. Women do this.
Like, that would also send up red flags for me as far as like the future of my life with you. Are you going to expect me to be the sole chef in the kitchen for all of the meals for all eternity? Like what is my partner's expectations? It seems like it's not though. It seems like they've had conversations and he's tried to bring it up and has been like, I know it's archaic. I know. Yeah. I just feel like a small little peon that is the youngest in the family. Yeah, I think that's a good point, though.
Because he's got to feel uncomfortable.
Matt, you're chomping at the bit.
I'm ready.
Tell me.
Go.
I get it. It's bad. I want to know who in that family is putting the pressure on these women to go and cook. These newly like introduced women to the fold, right?
Mm-hmm. Who's the leader?
Why do they have to cook? Is it the mom and the grandma? Why are they being ostracized? I think it's the women, though, because OP used the word cattiness, and could be wrong here, but to me, that is a very descriptive word for women being catty towards other women.
Historically, it has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Which is also not right. Like, come on.
Oh, straight trash. But this boyfriend, here's what I would do. I'd say, hey, we're trying to make a first good impression. What if I came and cooked with everybody? Like, I'll hang out with you while you guys cook.
This family, that won't fly.
You have to come up with a solution. And in my brain, I know cooking is very different than baking, okay? But there's a lot of times where Morgan and my grandma and my mom and Don, they all get together and bake Christmas cookies, mountains of cookies, plates. It's fantastic.
But that's their
choice. Peanut butter ones with the Reese's, not the Reese's, the Hershey's Kiss in the middle. Those are my favorite.
Maybe that's the thing, like, is it an expectation that they're going to do that? Like, we would love if you would join, but if you don't want to, that's fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of like the Christmas cookie thing. Like that's different where it's like, hey, you want to come over and help us or just chill, whatever. But here it's like, okay, Josie, just so you know, my family.
They didn't say how long they've dated, right? It's a first meeting, first impression. I would say if this girl really likes this guy, suck it up. Go and cook and treat it as an experience. And if she's not good at cooking, she's just got to be honest about that. I'm not a great cook. I have no idea what I'm doing. This is going to taste like shit if you let me do it. But yeah, I don't know. Is it a big deal? Yeah, no, I don't think so. I just think that it's a stupid tradition. That's stupid. It should not be upheld, but here they are. And what else is he going to do?
He could not go.
He could not. He, you know what? They could just say that they're sick.
Or he could just say, you know, we're uncomfortable with this expectation.
What did the guys do? That's the other thing. I need updates.
You know what they do? They sit in the recliners and they watch TV.
They watch football.
That's what they're doing.
Drink beer.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Play pool.
Yes.
Talk about hunting.
Yes.
Oh, see, I'm
smoke cigars.
I'm totally in a different mindset. I'm still in the mindset of how am I going to talk my girlfriend into how am I going to manage this situation?
She's not going. It's already done. Well, you don't need to manage it. She's not going.
Okay, you
need
to convince her. What happens if you don't go?
They're done.
So if they're that serious, is her family just going to not accept her?
Apparently.
So. And then how close is the guy to his family? Like, that's a whole...
I also want to know, what are these men doing for the wives? Are they chopping firewood to, like...
No, that probably... Yeah. It's like Thanksgiving.
You bringing up Thorne Bradley again?
Posting thirst traps. What are they doing?
He's a feminist also. That's why I like him.
From your last episode.
You bring up some good points. I think it also, for me, a little bit depends on how stressful I would find the situation personally. And I think everybody's lines are a little bit different. Because if you were to say, hey, just so you know, it's weird, but like every family get together, all the women sing a song and they'd like you to join. I'd be like... That's weird, but okay.
Yeah.
But for me, cooking is like that's a stressful event. I'm meeting everybody for the first time and I'm supposed to like prepare food correctly for people.
I agree.
I probably would balk at that and I'd probably say no, thank you.
For a first time meeting,
it's a lot of pressure.
He's fucking up. Why would you bring... A new girlfriend to a big family dinner. Why wouldn't you introduce her and mingle her slowly but surely?
The family tradition is you have a serious girl and you want her to meet us for the first time. Here's what she has to. They might be a very serious family, or this might be super casual. Be like, hey, for fun, come on. Doesn't really specify in the story, but if it is super serious, that's messed up.
I want answers, people. Who else has something stupid in their family like this? What tradition do you not like? It's bullshit.
Yeah. The biggest problem I have with it, that if they don't participate, then they're ostracized and they're not treated well, basically, by the family. So, that's not right. No matter what, like, it's their job to they're making their first impression on her as well. Like, it's not just a one-way street. It's a two-way street. She's meeting them and they're giving her a first impression. If she's like, you know, I'm really uncomfortable. I'd rather like hang out with my boyfriend and watch sports because I just feel really, really awkward in this kitchen with all these women that I don't know making food that I don't know how to make. That seems like a really not fun time.
Let's put a twist on it.
Okay.
You're actually going to go. You're the girlfriend. What are you cooking?
I don't know. That's part of the problem. I have nothing up my sleeve.
Quick mac and cheese.
It's good to have a go-to thing that you can make and bring or whatever.
Well, spaghetti?
Lasagna?
Lasagna is hard and it takes a long time. It's not really hard, but...
lasagna and...
No. Yeah. That's good. That's
so good. All right. Well, let's answer the question then at the end of the day. Boyfriend, before we get to the people, is said boyfriend an asshole?
I really don't think he's the asshole because he's asking the question and he's trying to figure out a solution. And I just hope that, you know, he's not like forcing her to do it. He's like, what? I feel stuck. I wouldn't call him an asshole. I'd call his family an asshole.
Yes.
But if he's going to stand by his family and be like, well, you have to do this or we're done, then he's an asshole. If he stands by his girlfriend and is like, I understand that this makes you really uncomfortable, and I'm going to support you if you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure that I like protect you from the ostracization or whatever. That's probably not a word.
You said that perfectly.
Okay.
That's exactly how I feel.
then he's not the asshole. So I think it depends on how he ultimately handles the situation.
Yep.
I agree. I don't think he's the asshole.
What do the people
think?
Because
he's trying to find a solution, right?
He's aware.
Come to that?
He's aware of, mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. This got so bad that this thread got locked.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Moderator, shut her down.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Locked due to an excess of rule violations.
All right.
So here we go. You're the fucking asshole.
Is that the overall vote?
He is the asshole is the overall vote. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. People were not letting him get off with this. Why won't my girlfriend abandon herself? Respect so that she can just establish herself as some subservient woman tool so that my sexist family won't mentally and verbally abuse her. I had a feeling
that this is the way it was going to go. Yep.
Why is my girlfriend mad? I mean,
they put that so nicely. I actually, you read that and I'm like, yeah, I agree, actually.
Yeah.
Well.
Why is my girlfriend mad that my family expects her to cook even though she's been invited as a dinner guest?
Oh, Jesus.
Also a good point. Gosh, the internet can be so smart.
Hmm. So and here's where we get into first impressions, though.
Like, okay.
Because ultimately, if this girlfriend was really serious about this boyfriend, maybe you'd have something like this happen. So I'm a woman. My family is like this. When my boyfriend, now husband, started coming around, it drove him crazy. He would start doing things like this. Grandma, Madeline, please come help with the dishes. Boyfriend, oh, let me help, Madeline. You stay there. I got this. Grandma, oh, no, honey. You're a guest. You sit down. Boyfriend, already hands soapy, sponge in hand, washing dishes. I bet you can guess how that turned out. The men of the family didn't even notice that my boyfriend was gone at the time. And every single woman in my family absolutely adores my now husband.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So this commenter, the best recommendation for OP is to take the girlfriend to the kitchen, have her sit down and chat with your family. And you do the prep work. You start cooking the food. She can pitch in and help. Boom. Nailed it. Called it. Pow!
Yeah, he did. That's good.
Way to go.
That's good.
Yeah. So I don't think he's the asshole. The internet got it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good first impression.
Of boyfriend? Just there?
In general. It's very...
doing the dishes, getting hands soapy.
Whole thing. Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
Mm-hmm. Me too, actually.
So this makes me think
would
about...
You, have you doing the dishes?
The dishes.
I'm better.
Especially if it was like the first time, you probably would have for me.
I like doing the dishes. It's a mindset thing.
I do the dishes, everyone. I know it's a hard thing.
Think of the dishes as your own bar. You got to clean it up so it's nice for the next morning when you wake up. That's my whole mindset.
I'm fired up tonight.
It's a nice
mindset. Think of it's your own restaurant or it's your own bar. And you're like, all right, I got to clean all these pans up. The dishes are easy to throw in the dishwasher if you have a dishwasher. Put all those greasy pans.
We do have a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. This whole thing makes me think about the people who love me. My friends know that I hate cooking. And so like when we're ever doing like a potluck, they like if they've all decided what they're going to bring and whatever, they always award me the things I can buy. And I'm so happy about that. Like Amy... if you'd like to bring chips or
a veggie tray.
Right. But you know what? I like doing veggie trays because that's kind of artistic and you just kind of like make it pretty and you don't have to cook anything. You just chop it up. I'm a very good sous chef. I like to chop things up. I don't like to actually cook them. And so they do that. Your family's also actually very nice about it. I've been invited to cookie making, but it's never an expectation. And also for your family events, they're basically like, what do you want to bring? And I volunteer something that I can buy instead of make. And because it just makes everyone so much happier, except for the year that I said that I would bring rolls. And I forgot that I said that I was going to bring the rolls. And because I don't really like, I never eat the rolls at a Thanksgiving dinner because I just feel like it's going to fill you up more and get in the way of eating all the better food. But a lot of people apparently think that the rolls are the best part of the dinner.
It's one of the best parts of the dinner.
And so I
dunk them in gravy.
Sabotaged a Thanksgiving dinner by forgetting the rolls, and they've never assigned the rolls to me again. Sorry. Anyway, tangent.
That's funny. I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'm gonna real quick before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some different takes on the story we read by a few commenters. They were highly upvoted. You're the asshole, mainly because you seem very concerned with your girlfriend making the first impression rather than your family making a good impression for her.
See?
It reads that you care far more that your family approve of your choice than you do she approves of your family. Very self-centered and pretty fucked up. And then you're the asshole. So you disagree with it, but are you in the kitchen in the meantime? Have you ever tried in the past to go in there and provide help, labor, or are you contributing to the sexism? And are you only not sexist to women you want to sleep with?
Well, that feels aggressive.
That's aggressive at the end. I got the sexism part at the beginning because that was my first reaction was of this whole conversation. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh God.
He says that he's talked about this with his family before, but actions do speak louder than words. So have you gotten up and started participating in the preparation of the food or doing the dishes? If you haven't, I mean, like, I doubt somebody is going to like shoo him away, like literally say, you cannot do this. You cannot help in the preparation of the food. That would also be weird.
Yeah.
So you're kind of contributing to the status quo and the perpetuation of this sexist standard. So be the first to get off the recliner, stop watching the sports, and go and help and have meaningful conversations with everybody doing the work.
There we go.
What
was the first impression the two you had with each other?
Oh, he's cute.
Oh.
I mean, we were 17. We were both with other people.
We were 16.
Going to a school dance. Oh, we started dating when we were 17 then.
But like whole interaction, how was that first impression? Like, did you try to hide things at first?
Oh, like a peer?
No, like for an example, when like Alyssa and I, my now wife, we went on a blind date. So we were texting for weeks, but when we first met each other, I at one point in time had my left ear pierced. And I was like, you know what? And I had a beard. And actually, not a beard, chin straps. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to shave my chin straps.
Love it.
I'm going to take my earring out for a good first impression and pick her up. I drive my old 2004 Corolla with my gangster lean on.
Nice.
Honk the horn, pick her up. She's like, hi.
You honked the horn?
Yeah, like, me.
What?
I don't know.
You didn't get out of the car?
Oh, no. She was on this side of the street and I was going over here and then swerving around the park on the other side. But I saw her and I forgot my horn sound like a little Mickey Mouse thing. I was like, oh God, this is great. So I pick her up and, you know, we get out, we hug. She's like, hi. You have earrings? Why don't you have earrings in? I was like, oh God.
She called you out on it right away.
See the holes
in
my earlobes. Yeah. So that was a good first not first impression, but my take was like, I want to make a good first impression. What is she going to think if I have my ear pierced? Like, she wouldn't even care. This is a whole psychological thing.
She'd already seen your pictures. Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you have been on.
Well, at that point, I was like,
many of dates.
No, well, so hold on. That point,
your first impression. Let's take it back a step. Your first impression, you had to have had an impression of what she was like, or what she in your brain,
your perception of what she would like.
You're changing things.
Well, yeah. So we went, the couple that set us up there in the back seat when she said that about my earlobe. And I remember she's like, hi, you take your earring out? And I looked in the rearview mirror. I was like, what did you do? And they're smiling.
Yep. I just really want you to like me.
So this reminds me. Okay. So I did my research over here before this episode. And I read a little article about from Forbes. And one of their tips on making a first impression is embrace authenticity. So you're a little bit trying to change yourself up a little bit.
Yes.
But Forbes was saying that people generally detect insincerity. Alyssa detected it right away.
She just didn't know the real you.
There you are. Which can be a significant turnoff. Being honest in your interactions fosters trust and makes your relationship more meaningful.
So
you must have been authentic in every other way.
I guess so. So I would have showed up in my chin straps and ear pierced. You would have loved me anyway.
She probably would have. Maybe.
Yeah.
They also do say dress for the occasion, though. So I feel you were really checking that box.
I did, too. Yeah.
And that how you present yourself, your personal hygiene, the clothes that you wear, are they appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
That also is really integral in making a good first impression.
Yeah. And you're trying, too. Even if she hates the cologne or she hates what you're wearing, I was like, you took the effort to dress up.
Yeah.
And show up and smell good. So even if I think you stank, I don't like that cologne, but the effort was there.
The effort was there.
Yes.
Good work.
Yes.
Were you on time?
Oh, yeah. Going back to our last episode, if you're 15 minutes early, you're on time.
It's true. You did point that out.
I did.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is also very important in making a good first impression.
Oh, I think. When you're trying to make a first impression and you want it to be good, you're going all out. You're dressing up. You're doing your hair. You're putting some gel in there. Back in the day, I had Prince Charming hair. Just, get it all a shower. Shake it.
Hockey hair.
Hockey hair. Put some product in there. It's ready to roll. Throw on your best lucky jeans and whatever else it was back in the day and good to go. Never had my ears pierced, but go from there. My first impression to Amy, we were 16. Yeah. We were at the snowball dance.
Snowball.
And I sat next to Amy at the dinner table. Her boyfriend was next to her at the time.
We sat next to each other?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that.
Yep. And I was in process of breaking up with my date in my brain. I was working on that.
That night?
I had already made the decision. It was coming.
He wasn't going to break up with her.
Break up with somebody at a formal high school dance.
Oh, so mentally you're already not at the scene.
Checked out.
Got it. Yep.
And we chatted a little bit here and there, but then Amy wasn't allowed to go to the dance because her boyfriend was some religion, not allowed to dance.
I was mad about that.
And so, Amy, we met up at the after party, and we were all hanging out and chit-chatting, and we kind of talked off and on throughout that time period. And my girlfriend went somewhere, and my buddy Kurt was sitting next to me. I'm like, I'm gonna date that girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
And
then you married her
shortly. Yeah,
12 years later.
Yeah. So that was like my first initial, like, I'm going to date that girl. I really didn't care that she had a boyfriend at that stage in my life. So, that was like, you know, 16, like that's not going to last. Like,
so now you made your first, well, okay, now let's shift to you. I was going to skip ahead and say, what are your first impressions on the family? But what was your first impression on Matthew?
No, I was distracted by my feelings of being a little upset that I wasn't allowed to go to the dance per my relationship with the ex-boyfriend. I kind of forced him into doing all the before things and all the after things so that I could do that. And so I was one foot out the door probably at that point as well. And so I noticed Matt, and I just remember being like, oh, he's cute.
Was it his hair?
He's cute.
Was it like 20 feet away when you saw him? What did you think? Like, was he?
Probably. I remember him being, and he always was like very confident as a teenager. You had that charisma, charm, confidence, as well as the Prince Charming hair.
Thank you.
We must have chatted. I don't remember like chatting about any specific things, but yeah, we must have chatted a little bit, and it must have gone well because
There we go.
So did your first impressions like meet your expectations? Or did they match what you thought, I guess?
I didn't like, even have expectations, though.
He is your first impressions, and then when you meet the person, were they off, or was it kind of spot on?
Oh, no. Matt continued to lay on the charm and the charisma and the confidence and the Prince Charming hair for years after.
So. And he continued to be the hot, innocent church girl. And that at the time that worked for me.
Oh, you too.
It took a while to get there, but let's jump into our next.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Story.
All right, here we go.
All right, next story. Reddit threw it at me. Today I fucked up by enraging the parents of my girlfriend on my first meeting with them by pretending not to know what a potato was.
That's odd.
So I was invited to dinner with my girlfriend's parents. I was very aghast, nervous, bashful to be invited to such a situation. I knew I had to go. I met them nicely. I should tell you, it started off great. The idea slapped my mind that I should do a comic bit to make a good first impression and become known to them as a person who is amusing. When I saw the baked potatoes that were served, I got the idea that it would be very good if I pretended I didn't know what potatoes were. That'd be funny, right? Well, let me tell you, backfired. So when the first potato became on my plate, I acted very interested in the potato. I showed an expression on my face as to seem that I was confused, astounded, but in a restrained way, curious, interested. This person's good.
This person is an artist. That's
good. They did notice and seemed confused, but didn't remark. So I asked, "This looks very interesting. What is this?" They stared at me. The mother said, "It's a baked potato." And I was saying, "Oh, interesting. A baked, what is it again?" "A potato?" And I was like, "Ah, potato. Interesting. Never heard of that." They didn't see that I was clowning, but thought I really didn't know what a potato was. So I knew I would be very shamed, humiliated, depressed, disgusted if I admitted that I was making a bad joke.
At this point, you're already too far
so
in.
What I did.
I think he probably could have been, just kidding.
Yeah, this is the point.
And
right,
move on.
Now, as we
they would
out,
have been the awkward chuckle, and then the night would have moved on.
Nope. I committed. Okay. I committed to the act. They asked me, did I really not know what it was, that I've never heard of one? I went with it. I told them, never knew what a potato was until now. This went on for a bit. My girlfriend was acting so confused and embarrassed by my fucked up antics. Then the more insistent I was about not knowing what a potato is was when the parents started thinking that I did in fact know what a potato was. Well, let me tell you, I committed 110% at this point. I was not willing to admit that I knew what one was. So the father began getting annoyed and at some point said, enough is enough. You're fucking with us. And I replied, sir, before today, I never knew what a potato was. I still don't.
See, if you double down like that, you're called out, and you double down like that, you're just lying. Then.
You gotta own the lie forever. You're
way
right?
too far into it.
Oof. Keep going.
Well, let me tell you, they got very annoyed. I decided that I better take a bite of this potato. And when I did, I made a high-pitched noise and said, tastes very strange. That's when the father started yelling at me and the mother kept saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And my girlfriend went to some other room and excused herself. Finally, the father said, get the fuck out of my house. And I said, it was irrational to treat me like this just because I've never heard of what a potato was. Well, let me tell you, didn't take to that too kindly. Now, in a text message, I've been telling my girlfriend that I really didn't know what a potato was. The only way I can ever get out of this is for them. The only way I can ever get out of this is for them to buy that I don't know what a potato is. I wish I never started it, but I can't go back. And pretty sure this relationship's done. She's breaking up with me any day.
My cheeks hurt.
What?
Is there any coming back from this?
This is out of control snowball.
Oh,
like
it was. This story was highly upvoted. I'm dying over here. It's 10 years old. It was like one of the number one searches when I pulled it up.
Here's my question. So, is this guy like a comedian by trade, or is that like his thing? Is that what, you know, does being a comedian make him authentic, right? Or is he generally a serious person and he was like, I need to be more humorous, and so this is what I'm going to do? Because it brings us back to that, like, be authentic sort of a thing.
This shit's funny. I could never come up with that. Gotta look.
I think he...
Matt's impressed.
I think he just got... The only reason why I can understand that is because I know somebody that I used to work with, and he was in a situation where they were at his... I think I mentioned this on the Finding Fire podcast. He was... my old coworkers with his wife at their holiday party. And for some reason, this gal thought that they were married, had kids. And he's like, oh, hey, you're married, you have kids. And, you know, this guy's name was Matt, not you, obviously. But he's just like, yeah, we do have a kid. Her name is Jenny. And she's 3. Tell me all about her. And he went into this whole story about him having a kid.
And he didn't have a kid?
No. Did not get what her characteristics. And he was making up this character as the story was going along. And he was so at the point where you and I, Amy, at this story, we're like, here's the point where if you were going to bounce out or you're going to go all in. And he went all in, just like this potato guy. So I can totally see this happening. And I was laughing my ass off when I heard the story at work the next day, because I was like, yeah, when you are too far in, like, when do you get out? And then it's just like, you're going to think I'm crazy for even saying the story. Or now throughout my whole life, even if we never have kids, you're going to think I have a kid named Jenny. And you're going to think I hate potatoes.
They really committed. Okay, so this is really funny because, like, both of these kind of stem from this other little tidbit that I found from Psychology Today. And they mentioned that often someone's first impression is influenced... Often, someone's first impression is influenced by implicit attitudes of which they are unaware, which explains impulsive actions like giving a special preference to those with physical beauty or more easily trusting a person who has a baby face. And so basically, it is saying that your first impression can be tied to what you perceive the other person is going to want from you, and therefore you try to deliver it, right? Yeah. And so, but can anybody ever truly know that, right? No, because you're making assumptions. You know what happens when you make assumptions.
Normally when you...
you make an ass of yourself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Normally when you go into situations, though, you know what, to some degree, what people want of you. Yes? Oh, bullshit.
Actually, a study says that that is true.
Think about it. Every sales meeting that you've gone into, you know, you've done research, you've looked those people up, you know what they are about, you're going in, you've done all the homework, and you're giving people a spiel. It doesn't have to necessarily not be true. It can be a true spiel, but you're tailoring your pitch to those people. What for if it's- every past relationship that I've had.
So you,
do I
you,
have.
Do you pitch yourself?
There's
to
a name
the,
for this.
I've tailored myself to those parents that I've been talking to. I know that so-and-so's dad really likes fishing or hunting, or that parent likes snowmobiling, or they go to Florida every year. You bring that version of yourself.
Yes. There's a meta perception is the scientific name for that.
Well, as you're looking that up, I was thinking, for my perception was when I met Alyssa's parents for the first time. So a little background story. Like when I graduated college, my whole goal was to move home for a few years, save some money, move to Minneapolis, do the big city thing, right? Do that whole thing. I met Alyssa and fell in love with the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So now we go there more often than we do Minneapolis. It's kind of crazy what life throws at you. But when I first met Alyssa's parents, who are from the UP, very outdoorsy, just all that stuff comes very natural to them. Mm-hmm. And does not come natural at all to me. I never pretended one else that I knew anything about. I know little things, but like they grew up in like knowing how to start a fire and survive out there, easily back up a truck and angle it all in and park a boat and all that.
That's
like,
the hardest thing.
I never grew up with that stuff and I never pretended that either. And that has worked out for the best of me. If I pretended like I knew how to do it, they would see right through me.
I love you. And I would agree with that assessment that they would have saw right through you.
Yeah. I was like,
it's not you.
Yeah. At our wedding, I was like, oh, do you like
to? That's also okay.
I know. And I was totally honest at our wedding. Not a wedding, but I said this speech at a wedding. One of their family's close friends in the UP is like, oh, do you like to ski? This is like my first time up in the UP. I was like, no, I play basketball my whole life. It's like, okay.
Well, come on in and have some hot dish then.
Oh, do you hunt? I was like, no, I don't hunt. He's like, okay. Well, you snowboard? I was like, no, I don't snowboard either. He's like, okay, well.
That's not true. You went snowboarding that one time.
Do you want to walk through the woods? I was like, that I can do. I will walk through the woods with you.
He was trying to find some common ground.
Yes, and he knew. Yeah. And I have never pretended from day one that I knew what the hell I was doing. And if I did, then they would see right through me.
Honesty is the best policy.
So going back to your authentic point.
Yeah. Maybe that's the most important thing, just being yourself.
Yep.
Bill, go ahead. Sorry, okay. I interrupted.
That's okay. That is actually on a list of things that you're not supposed to do.
For first impressions?
For first impressions.
Okay.
When I looked it up.
Bad.
We'll get to the people, but this is a boyfriend trying to make a really good first impression on the in-laws, the potential in-laws. How do you think your first impression with your in-laws went? How'd that go? Why don't you tell that story?
Well, I guess we'll start with my first impression of them. As I went in, can I go back? Just 1 second. So remember the blind date I was talking about when I met Alyssa?
Yeah.
And I had my ear pierced that I took out. Yeah. So we did end up going inside and we went in for the first exchange because it was a blind date. I'm a hugger. Big time hugger.
I was like, hey, nice to meet you. And she goes in for the handshake. And I was like, oh. So that was a good first impression. And then I met her mom was fine. Totally lovely, outgoing person, kind of like me. And then her dad, awesome guy. When I first met him, I was like, hey, it's Ryan. He's like, it's your man. He's like, hey. I was like, he doesn't like me. He does not like me at all. Because I'm like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. He's like, hey, how you doing? Good. And to this day, he's the same way.
Lovely just guy. A little more reserved.
Yes, he is. So that was good after that. But yeah, their perception of me, the first time they stayed over at our house just so happened to be on my 25th birthday, where I had this guy out with me and my brother and a couple other close friends. And
a lot of bad influences.
Have another O'Doul's.
Yeah. Long story short.
Oh, he means O'Dell's.
No. Yeah. There's so many things. Long story short, I get home and I, you know, I sit down in bed and I have the spins. So I go down. And, you know, my in-laws are staying at our townhouse. This is our first townhouse that we had. And they're staying like right in the room next to us. It's like, I'm going to be so quiet. I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to throw up in the bathroom downstairs. But whatever happened between that last step and that bathroom, I just decided to puke all over the wall behind me. And then I was like, oh, now I'm going to make it even better. I'm going to hide all my puke clothes underneath the couch and I'm going to sleep right here on the couch. They won't see a thing. And then I woke up. They were gone, long gone. And I woke up to like a blood spattered puke on her wall and naked on the couch with my clothes underneath the couch.
No, you are not.
But you had a blanket on, right?
Well, I was naked. I had a blanket on, but I was naked underneath that.
Did someone put a blanket on you?
Hopefully, probably.
Where was your wife to be?
Sleeping. And to my credit, my first stop was my parents live like 2 miles down the road. So like after the bars, I got to ride home to my parents. I'm like, honey, just sleep downstairs. We'll drive you home. I was like, no, I got to get home to my baby. Like, honey, no, just stay here. Like, no. I was very adamant about going home.
Your mom was trying to do right by you.
And seeing Alyssa. And then, of course, on the ride home, my mom's like chirping up a story. Like, I'm not even paying attention, trying not to puke. And she won't stop talking. All of a sudden, like, window goes down. Bleh, puke all on the side of her Yukon. She's like, oh, honey. I was like, stop talking. I was on the way to the townhouse. So I puked once, laid down in bed when I got home. Spins, puke twice.
That sounds like a terrible 25th
and
birthday.
And I still thought I was going to get some action that night.
No. No.
So,
did not while
your in-laws are at your house. Great first impression, man.
Yeah, that was a good first.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I showed up at Amy's house when we first started dating for the first time, and I've always had a good rapport with parents. Amy's parents hated me.
From the get-go or what?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
He played hockey.
I played hockey. I had surfer boy hair, that Prince Charming.
You know, they could see right through that charisma.
Did you
and they
give him
knew
heads
that
up at
he
all no?
he was just trying to lay it on thick.
I can't.
And they were like, who is this kid?
I knocked on the door, introduced myself. Bruce came out. He was in his jean shorts at the time, no shirt on. And he's like, what time are you going to have her home? I'm like, midnight? No, 11 o'clock. Yep, 10 o'clock it is. Jesus Christ, on a motorbike. Out of there.
Did you warn
They me? Were used to the boy whose religion didn't let him dance, so.
Did you warn
it was
them?
Was rough.
About who's coming?
Not that I know of.
But look at us
no,
now.
No, I probably was like, just mom, dad.
Yeah.
So.
That's now funny. They love you.
What was your you first can impression
you
of?
Can, you can overcome a first impression, I think.
You can. they love me.
They do love you.
And I'm sorry to all my other brother and sister-in-laws, and I'm their favorite.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's true.
My first impression of your mom?
And Jerry.
Jerry.
Father knows something for anybody.
Jerry.
Probably some good stories out there of us.
First impression, I remember Jerry being like a creature I've never, ever been exposed to before.
A creature?
Maybe. He was from California, and I was a very sheltered upper Minnesotan. And he had a lot broader worldviews and experiences, and he was very open in a way that I was not used to. And he was also very different.
Sorry, Jerry.
Then my, I do love Jerry. I do love you. But you know, small town, little Minnesotan girl who's never traveled outside of this little city here at that point in time, I didn't quite know what to think of Jerry. I was just taking it in. I was taking Jerry in. I remember thinking that your mom was a badass hot tamale, because she was, because she had very forward-thinking views, or they were very different from the conservative views that my family was raised in. And she was very supportive of you and your endeavors and your dreams. Like, she was very much like a she was a bit of a dreamer, but she also like embraced like what is the wildest thing that you can imagine you going and doing in the world. Well, let's do it and let's make it happen. So those were the two first impressions. She also, I remember very distinctly, and we'd been dating for a while at this point, but I remember as a very first impression, her making sure I was like right there. And she was like, Matt, are you prioritizing Amy's pleasure in the bedroom? As teenagers. And I was like, I'm going to Planned Parenthood for my birth control because I'm scared of that receipt showing up on my parents' insurance because they can't know.
Yes. Morgan and I had quite the education.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was good. There we are. Yeah, those were first impressions.
Yes.
And then their first impression of me was probably that I was very quiet, very reserved, very...
I would love to. I see, and that's the thing. I don't know what my in-laws' first impression of me was.
Oh, we're gonna find out now.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm gonna ask Debbie.
You're coming on one of these episodes, and
she will tell us. She'll spill the tea.
You could tell me.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna bring up a couple things. So there are two theories about first impressions. We've kind of talked about one in a previous episode, but one is the liking gap, which is it's a theory that's been well studied and basically states that when you go in, not just for a first impression, but when you're meeting with someone that's fairly new, how you leave that encounter and you feel how the other person interpreted you and how much they liked you, you would rate their liking of you less than what that person actually rates you. So they think more highly of you than you think that they think of you. Yes. So that is the liking gap.
We did talk about this.
We did.
Yep.
But, and actually since that episode, I have fallen back on that in my psyche a few times. There have been encounters where I leave and I'm like, oh my God, I was so awkward. Why did I say it that way? Why did they, oh my gosh, they must think that this is... that I'm a weirdo, that I'm a little different, that I'm a little off, because why did I bring that up? There was no reason for me to bring up such and such, right? Like you overthinking and you thinking about things. Yep. And then I think to myself, wait a minute, there's that liking gap phenomenon. They probably like me more than I think that they like me. So I'm just going to go with that and roll with that. And that makes me feel a lot better.
They're probably thinking the exact same thing.
So... yep. Put that liking gap theory into your brain. So the next time you're criticizing yourself, just say to you, you know, it's science. They probably liked me more than I think they liked me. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Yeah.
There's another theory, and it's called, and I haven't looked at this one quite as much. It's called the spotlight effect, but it makes sense, which basically leads to people believing that others are hyper-focusing on them, mm-hmm. and judging them for every single imperfection and awkward question or bad joke, etc. Mm-hmm. Like, you think that you are meeting someone for the first time and there's this big spotlight on you. And so it's like every single thing you do is being like really analyzed.
Micro-analyzed, yeah. Yep,
but it's sure. not. Yep. Everybody is just there at the picnic and you're just another guest at the picnic, right. and they're just like, oh, you know, that person was nice. Mm-hmm. So that spotlight effect. So that people, not everybody is actually staring at you and yeah. judging you.
I love the title of that, because we talked about mm-hmm. at one point about the fear of judgment and like what other people think of you. And in reality, they're not thinking at all about what you think they're thinking about you. The spotlight is not on you.
Correct.
At all. And for who knows, do they think the spotlight's on them? So you both think the spotlight's on each other for, you know, in all those situations. And that's how it is. But yeah, that's, I love that title of that. That's mm-hmm. spot on, no pun intended.
Ah, I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Dad jokes.
Back to the comedy.
Okay. Yes.
The people have spoken.
Wait a minute. Were we talking about the potato guy still?
Yeah. Good call. Is this still potato guy?
We're back to the potato guy.
So sorry, guys. We took like...
That was a...
We took the long road, the scenic route, and here we are. We're back.
Yep.
Invite your girlfriend to meet your parents. Have your father take her aside and ask if potatoes were served at the last dinner with her parents. When she says yes, have him look alarmed. Have him mutter something about wanting to keep that from him and never mention the subject again.
Just double down. Oh, have some.
Just keep it going. Why not? That's awesome.
Have some people complicit in this.
Yeah.
When confronted about this horrible joke, insist that it never happened with the same level of commitment. Maybe they'll think you have a brain disorder.
Well, at some point, you have to get your other family involved.
I mean,
involved.
That's an like, impression also.
If he's never seen a potato, obviously his mom hasn't, or his dad hasn't,
or his brother, they're keeping or his sister. It from him.
They're trying to keep the potatoes from him. Send them a bouquet of potatoes as an apology, but on the card write, enjoy your potatoes in quotes, as if you still really don't believe they're real.
I think he freaked himself out, and he just went down a hole that he couldn't get out of, like he had a daughter named Jenny.
There you go. Jenny. All right, so on to the next story. All right, we got one and a half stories left, and then there's some personal stuff that we're going to bring up here. All right, but I'm going to ask this question. Have you ever really anticipated, you've met someone, you're trying to make that good first impression, and just like fumbled, dropped the ball, face planted, teeth broken, blood, pow! You ever had those?
I am not.
No? Maybe.
All right. Here we go. You ready? Here's a Reddit story that is going to talk about that exact situation.
Buckle up.
It's not long. So after getting out of a bad relationship, I was really hesitant to socialize again. But when some old high school friends invited me to the bar crawl, I figured, fuck it. Why not? At the first bar, we bumped into a group of guys from the university. One of my friends pushed me out of my shell and dragged us over to talk to these gentlemen. I'm usually quiet, so I ended up sitting awkwardly in the corner. One of the guys, let's call him Adam, was also quiet. And our tipsy friends made us play a game of truth or dare while we were out at the bar with drinking as the penalty for skipping any questions. Neither Adam nor I wanted to answer a lot of these questions, so we ended up getting shit-faced. By the end of the first bar, we were both pretty tipsy, we were hitting it off, and he walked me home. Our friends catcalled us, etc., But instead of feeling embarrassed, I felt oddly proud. At my place, we talked, had another drink, and ended up in bed together. The next morning, I wanted to make a good first impression. I wanted to make him breakfast. I actually liked this guy. I made scrambled eggs, French toast, sausage, some bacon.
Ooh, let's go.
Sounds delicious.
And
smell it from here.
Yep. So I made all of this food, and then he woke up, said, I looked really cute sober, and I thought I'd found the love of my life. This was going awesome. Started having a cup of coffee, and then we started eating. But then he made a weird face. He asked me if there were any nuts in the bread, and I said no. His face didn't change, and he started to look panicked. And then I realized, oh my God, I made the scrambled eggs with almond milk because that's all I had. He had a severe nut allergy, no EpiPen, and urgently needed an ambulance. He screamed, call an ambulance right now. So I immediately called 911, and he was hauled out of my apartment on a stretcher and taken to the hospital.
Oh no!
I didn't hear from him for a few days. I tried to check on him, but I wasn't allowed to go into his room at the hospital. So I tracked down a friend, found out he was alive. This is about a week and a half later. He still hasn't contacted me. Pretty safe to assume that first impression was ruined.
It was an honest mistake.
Probably a bad start to a romantic relationship.
Or just a funny story, maybe. I'm like always like rose-colored glasses. Maybe it'll all come back around. You know, maybe he just needs some time. Maybe he's a little embarrassed. You know, did he check about the nuts beforehand?
I honestly probably wouldn't think about that either.
Almond like, milk. It's not milk. Nuts.
No.
I mean, but it is, though.
But not like I wouldn't, that thought wouldn't cross my mind. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to make them some omelets, toss a little milk in there. There's no tangible, like hard nut.
I just feel so bad for her.
Almost killed the guy.
I mean, ooh. Yeah, first date. Almost killed him. Whoops. Although,
maybe it's a story.
He really should have an EpiPen on him.
Yeah.
If he has a severe nut allergy.
Because especially if you're out and you're at the bars. Or whatever,
things happen, right? It's not his fault, but
you're out drinking with your friends. Right. You're not expecting scrambled eggs.
Yeah, with almond milk nuts in them. Usually,
maybe some toast, but
they gotta be together still. Guarantee it.
I hope that they would reconnect, and that I wonder if he'd be embarrassed. Do you think he'd be embarrassed to have to leave her house? You know, maybe he's like, God, she was the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. We were really hitting it off. We spent the night together. It was fireworks. It was magical. And then she made me breakfast, and I started swelling up, and I got red and swollen, and I had to have her call an ambulance, and I had to leave by ambulance. I can never face her again.
That would be
like, do you think that? Right? Like maybe 100%. He's not reaching out because he just feels maybe a little, embarrassed about it.
Nailed it.
Yes, he shouldn't feel embarrassed about it.
I agree.
It's a medical condition.
I agree.
She needs to go to that friend, right?
Go to the middleman. Wow. Comments?
Well, if it makes you feel better, I accidentally stabbed my girlfriend before we started dating.
Whoops.
And we've been together now for 8 months. So chances are he doesn't really hate you.
I didn't draw blood.
Right.
That's good.
How did you accidentally stab someone?
I would also like to know.
Well, it's really easy enough to do. But after about the fifth time, it gets harder to do accidentally. It's one of the most upvoted comments. People, what's wrong with you?
Sorry. Didn't see your finger.
That seems unhealthy.
OP, or the OP of that comment. Commenter replied back, I was in the kitchen carving up a chicken for dinner, and they came into the apartment with a bunch of friends and accidentally slipped and
What?
Sure.
Ran into my knife.
Sure.
Slipped and ran into your knife.
That sounds like a story you hear in the emergency department as far as like how you sat on some weird thing and it ended up in your asshole.
I actually don't think that.
Yikes.
Jeez.
As a parent, though, I think about those things. Like if I'm like if I'm washing a very sharp knife and I'm like bending down to put it back into the knife hole where it goes. And I was like, all right, Scarlett, our youngest, if you bump into me and I like jolt forward and I don't want to stab you or somebody else. Like I'm always thinking about that shit. Is that weird?
I was working at the house today and I was using a skill saw where you had to flip the blade guard open and I was running it through and it like kept kicking back because I didn't have enough people like holding material. It was an interesting situation. And I was like, one of the ones went, and I made a huge, I was like, thank God somebody wasn't holding this piece of foam because fingers gone, dead.
Anyways. Okay, remind me not to hold the foam for you. But those are called intrusive thoughts.
As a parent, I think you're always three steps ahead. Like, if I do this and this and this happened, that could happen.
Yeah, it's also called anxiety. Both of those things. They can be both tied together if they're all about
I like the first one you said.
Yeah, intrusive thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like those thoughts that don't seem to be like from your actual brain, but they're like from yourself, if that makes sense. But they're just,
it's worst they case just scenario. Appear.
Right. And so you can acknowledge them and dismiss them and you can be like, that's a weird intrusive thought and let it go and know that that's not of yourself. It's just that intrusive thought. Yeah, maybe
it's a little anxiety. Like if our daughter's doing cartwheels near the fireplace, she's like, don't do cartwheels near the fireplace because if you miss your cartwheel and you trip and fall and you hit the back of your head on the edge of the fireplace, like go that way.
You're thinking about all the worst case scenarios. Yeah. So especially in parenting, they've actually found that that is evolutionarily a protective trait. And so they do think that people who have those kind of intrusive thoughts and anxiety and increased rates of anxiety have been in a way bred into our population more because especially in the caveman days, the parents that were just super blasé and they were like, well, whatever, who cares? I'm not thinking five steps ahead about what potential danger awaits my child. Mm. Their kids died.
Oh.
Shoot.
And so their lineage was not perpetuated into society. But the parents that were like, I'm going to think about 10 different ways that this scenario can kill you. And then I'm going to think about every single way in which I can prevent that. Their kids lived. And so they continue to pass on their genes.
You just mic drop that shit.
So.
Nice.
It's a real thing.
That is me right there. Wow. That was impressive.
I'm trying to think of other. Go ahead. I interrupted.
No.
Asshole.
You didn't.
I'm the asshole.
Well, according to Forbes, you are. Don't don't interrupt as far all right. as.
I'm trying to think of other like first impressions in regard to this story. You know, first time hookups, first time meeting somebody, doing something face plant worthy, right? Like just face palm right to the dome. I don't know if I've ever crashed and burned.
Well, aren't you special?
Oh, fancy pants, Rich McGee over here. Fuck you. So, have you guys face planted? Have you face palmed so hard? I'm trying to think like to a degree of.
Okay, so something comes to mind, right? Okay, so one of my now very best friends, her name is Nikki. We met in PA school. So nobody knows anybody going to school, right? And you go through a couple of these little like ceremony things that introduce you to everybody. And so in one of those ceremony things, welcoming you to PA school, they call your name, they have you stand up, they announce like what your prior degree was. and what school you're from or state or whatever. Yeah. Yes. And so they call my name. I stand up. I'm like, okay. And they say, Amy majored in biology, psychology, and chemistry, and is now here in PA school. And in my brain, I'm like, that is not true. I'm like, oh my God, did they accept me to PA school because they think that I majored in all three of these subjects? I did not major in all three of these subjects. I majored in biology. I minored in chemistry and psychology, right? And so the look on my face, the nonverbal communication, which in all of my research over here is very important in first impressions, my nonverbal communication was scared shitless, which came across as very bitchy. So I was like,
yeah.
Do I interrupt? Do I correct them? Do I say, what do I do in this situation? Basically, I just stood up and then I sat down. And that was all I did. And
so many thoughts.
Yes, so many thoughts running through my brain all at once, being like, oh my God, I'm a fraud. I'm an imposter. Never going to graduate from PA school. Graduated with honors, by the way. Later on, I met my friends. It honestly went two different ways, actually, now that I think about it. I had one friend, Alyssa, and she was a bridesmaid in my wedding. She's like fabulous. We studied together all the time. Her mom, after they announced my glory, her mom leaned over to her and she said, Alyssa, that's one you got to make friends with. And so Alyssa did, and we were fast friends, and for more reasons than just that, right? And then Nikki, my other very, very best friend from PA school, she leaned over to also our other good friend, Alexandra, and she was like, she looks like kind of a bitch. And so had that first impression of me based on my nonverbal communication skills, being scared shitless during the announcement of...
That's a good story.
Yes, what I was supposed to be entering PA school. And we are all very good friends now. And we laugh at that story every now and again. So
that's a good one.
That's good.
Nikki wasn't wrong, was she?
No!
jokes.
You're terrible. Kidding. She would also say that her first impression was wrong.
I was going to edit it out, but yeah.
It's funny. Anyway.
So the people, just to wrap this story up before we jump to the very next thing.
Yes.
I'm guessing if asphyxiation isn't one of his kinks.
Oh my gosh, I just got it. That's,
you know, because he was
dying from anaphylaxis.
Girlfriend, he said you were cute the next morning after a full night of drinking. All lights say green. Minus the ambulance lights. Yeah?
Yeah. People are clever.
And this other quote that is very highly upvoted is, countdown to marriage initiated. Call him now. You already did the big fuck up of your relationship. Now it's out of the way.
True.
Get that next date on the books. Let's go.
Okay. Are there any updates from OP? Do we have any? I mean, this is an older post, right? Or is this newer?
Oh, probably not.
There are no updates.
Oh.
They lived happily ever after.
I think there's hope. Always think there's hope.
There's always hope.
No. So
I bet they, got in contact. Yours?
My greatest weakness. I always think there's hope.
Yeah.
It's probably not true.
So this was something that I came across, which I think we all can relate to.
Okay.
In regard to first impressions, why does my partner go all out with the work wardrobe glow up, but not bringing the same vibe or effort on date nights? And they put a little blurb in. My boyfriend, 32 male, switched jobs about a month ago and suddenly went on a shopping spree, snagging fancy new threads, which I'm 31 female, all for. But here's the kicker. He's rocking these sharp outfits only at work. And then on date nights, he's back to the trusty old lazy Nike sweatpants and athletic t-shirt. I'm not complaining. I'm just curious as to what everybody's thoughts are.
Here's my thought. He thinks that wardrobe is part of his whole, the perception others are going to pay him, and that he will be able to make advances potentially in his career based on his, how he presents himself. People will find him either more trustworthy or more reputable or more knowledgeable based on how he's appearing. And then when he is with her, it's that he's comfortable. He's like, that's his like comfort zone because he's been with her for a while. That's probably how he views his true authentic self. So that's my guess.
I got something. I'm gonna let you go.
Yeah, I think he still needs to make the effort to put some khakis on and a button-up t-shirt.
Not khakis, though. Maybe a nice pair of dark wash jeans.
Some nice slacks.
Like, how old are you?
Put some khakis on.
Don't slacks. Be a Target employee.
I went
on a
date tonight with my wife, and we've been married 10 years, and we both made the effort to dress up and go out.
Yes.
Like, it's just a fact of...
As long as there's effort there.
This.
You look nice.
Yeah. It's summer. You look good.
Yeah, exactly. Summer in Duluth. But yeah, if he has the energy to put his wardrobe in full effect for work, you should do that like two times for...
Should up your game for the person that you love.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Show the effort.
I agree. I was just thinking that's probably where he's coming from.
Right, yes.
But
yes.
Like in my personal world, it's the opposite. I will go to clinic in scrubs.
But
then for date nights, I'm like, ooh, an excuse to dress up. I'm going to be fancy tonight. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to give her a go. I'm going to answer this.
Okay.
So if I'm in said boyfriend's shoes, just got a new job. Every single time I've gotten a new job, I want to make a good impression. I do. I go out and I spend a shit ton of money on new clothes. Things that are popping, things that are good, things that I think fit that culture, fit what I need to be. But at the same rate, when I say that, it also makes me feel good because looking good feels good.
Look good, feel good, sell good.
Boom. Well, I think that's huge too, because having the confidence is part of, according to my research, making a good impression.
Right. So I think that said boyfriend, doing the right thing, going out and, you know, he's buying all the things. He's going to make a good impression with those that he needs to make that good impression with. Personally, I want to make a good impression amongst all outside individuals. I rarely ever put sweatpants on, period, exclamation point. I want to always look good. I want to impress you over there, Amy. I want to impress your friends. I want your friends to think that I look fly and look good, hot. Fly.
You were like, you went back. I went back to the future. Do the youngsters use that word nowadays? Fly.
I just heard it today. I heard it today.
There are some men that look real fly, though, in a pair of sweatpants if styled correctly.
You know, I'm going to use this term wrong, but brat?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, brat. Is that for females? I'm not totally.
I don't totally. Please tell us. I'm not sure.
But anyways, moving on. So I will say, though, in my youth, probably around this age, in my 30s during my career, I wanted to always dress to impress. I was wearing floral button downs, dress pants, slacks, and in the office and out to lunches and dinners, going to business networking events, chamber events, always fucking dressed up. And then something changed. Something switched. Getting on a plane previously, I'd be dressed up because you never know who you're going to meet and who you're going to sit with. I'm over it. Fuck it. I'm 38 years old. I now want to be comfortable. I'm going to put a pair of jeans on because that's what I feel the most comfortable in, and a t-shirt like such, probably pink, purple, or some floral vit. You can vouch for me on that.
Yes.
Always. Something bright where my friends can find me. Period.
Safety and first.
Always.
You know, like when you lose your child and you're like, no, you're supposed to announce what they're wearing. Yeah. Bright orange shirt, gray pants.
I've gotten to the point where I don't give a shit anymore. And at some point, you just have to be relaxed. Don't worry. You just go do what you want to do and be comfortable. Fuck first impressions, because if you're comfortable and you're yourself, it doesn't matter if you're wearing fucking sweatpants and a t-shirt out of date night.
Yep.
Rock it.
I think it depends on your girlfriend. I think it depends on what you're doing.
Situation.
If you're going to a fancy restaurant, like dress for the occasion to show your girlfriend that you're putting in the effort. It's about the effort.
Sure. Mm-hmm. If you're going out to Vabene, fancy Italian restaurant, solarium, overlooking the lake, candlelit dinner, they're probably not going to let you through the door with sweatpants on.
They will. They will.
But you should read the room.
Right.
Okay. And for this OP, why not have the conversation? Say, hey, you're making this impression on me that you don't really care about what you look like when you're with me. And you're kind of coming off as a slob, and it's a fucking turn off. Turn on, turn off, turn off. This is a turn off. These sweatpants, this Nike shirt and whatever the fuck you got on, bad.
Yeah.
All right, some slim fitted 32 jeans, floral button down, turn on.
I don't even know if that's the turn aggressive. On. I think it's the thought behind it that is. Fuck your outfit.
True, and maybe he's just not putting the effort in.
Right.
But again, I think that there's a lot of like people who have worn some sweatpants and make them look real good and real fancy.
That's true.
So it all depends on how he's rocking them.
I'm just saying, this person doesn't care for the sweatpants. And I get it. I get to a point with work or my daily life where I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to do the small talk. I don't want to make first impressions. I just got done with a long week and we have to go to a networking event for oftentimes Amy's functions. And I'm like, oh.
Okay. Speaking of which, what makes a bad first impression? Let's talk about that because I've got some things. Think so. Number one is the lack of engagement. Like not making eye contact, being distracted, showing a lack of interest in what's going on, not being engaged. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Number two, actually having overconfidence or arrogance. So perhaps my parents, when they met Matt, instead, you know, I was like, ooh, this kid is so confident and sure of himself. My parents were probably like, this bozo kid over here, this hooligan, is arrogant. And he's probably an arrogant hockey player. Where he actually was, maybe somewhere in the middle. Number three, poor appearance or hygiene. So dressing inappropriately, neglecting your personal grooming, that will be a negative first impression. So don't do that. Make sure that you're putting thought into your appearance because it does, unfortunately, make all the difference. Actually, the majority of the first impression is not what you say, but all the nonverbal cues. What is going on over here?
We're just promoting Dos Hombres this whole episode.
It's fucking Ryan poured his drinks. And he Maybe it was me. Did I do it? Somebody talking about first impressions left a bottle of booze just bright and center of this episode. It's perfect. It's very fitting.
Well, maybe you too. So
for anybody maybe
reach out and they'll be like, hey.
Well, we'd love to be sponsored. I was saying poor appearance or hygiene. Don't do it. Put some thought into it. Make your appearance appropriate for whatever you're doing. If you're on a date night, either it's fancy sweatpants that are styled or maybe a floral button down and some dark wash jeans or whatever. Mm. All right. And then two more things. Negative first impression. If you bring a negative attitude or you are complaining within your first interaction with people, that is going to be a very negative first impression. The negativity. Leave it at home or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then number five, inappropriate humor or comments. And so perhaps it was the potato bit that did it in for him. Maybe the parents felt that never having been exposed to a potato in our culture was very inappropriate humor.
Or
off-color jokes, making assumptions based on stereotypes. Those are viewed as very unprofessional.
So, no, good points. Mm-hmm. I agree completely. I'm trying to think of other first impression items, but I think we covered a lot.
I think it's an everyday thing. I think we all make first impressions.
Yeah.
Whether you're walking down the street, you're watching TV, you meet somebody's friend who is sitting right here that he hasn't said hi yet, but you're already making these preconceived, like, you have these whole narratives and stories made out about people that could be completely wrong. I think that just goes into another layer of psychology and why you think that way. And I've done it plenty of times. Like, I prejudge and it's totally wrong. Like, that guy's a cocky asshole. Nope. You are very authentic and really cool. And I feel awful. Whoa, I judged you.
I think we have to address a very important part of first impressions that just slapped me in the face, slapped my mind. Let's talk about, we have talked tonight about a lot of, I would say, first impressions that are long-lasting impressions with individuals that the relationship has already started, has already been there. But first impressions can be also very quick, very spontaneous, and I'm looking for the right word, and it's there, it's right on the tongue.
Give me a situation.
Bleak. It's not bleak, though. That's the wrong word.
Fleeting?
Fleeting! That's the right word.
You're welcome.
Fleeting. Thank
Never
you.
Never would have said that. Nice.
For instance, when you are at a restaurant or a social interaction and somebody comes up to you, or you are actually serving somebody and you see those people, you have a first impression and you treat people differently based on those impressions. So, from previous conversation this evening, not on the podcast, Ryan had a very interesting date night and had a lot of first impressions with staff at a beach club, staff at a restaurant, staff at a bar, and all those people treated him and his wife very differently, and how Ryan responded was very interesting. For the first time in his life, he gave a $0 tip. So I think that it's important to also realize that first impressions can happen like that with different industries and different situations.
Yeah.
How was your night tonight?
And how you perceive people. It was very interesting. Just an interesting, so my whole thought process was, hey, I'm going to take my wife out for a nice, it was this Thursday night, last night. I was like, it's been a busy week. Kids have been crazy. Mom, come watch the kids. Alyssa, let's go out for a date. They have a beach club, like you mentioned, of go sit down, have a nice meal, music starts. And that was pretty much the whole plan, was to go there and have food and
Chill out, listen to music, have some drinks.
To clarify, is like a restaurant on a lake.
Yeah. And it was super, not like super duper busy, but they marketed it enough that operationally they couldn't handle all the people right. that were coming in. So like everything was late. Long story short, we ordered a burger, didn't get our burger. So Alyssa was like, I'm getting hangry. Like, and I could already see like a storm was coming from Hangry Town from your significant others. If they get to Hangry Town, but I was like, all right, cool.
Hangry.
I'm going to go to the bar. Cancel the order. We'll go to another restaurant one mile away.
Yep. Cool.
So we're gone. We're getting hungry. We get in there. The first thing I say is like, hey, so we just came from the beach club. We're so hungry. Could we just put an order in for a few burgers? Great. I'll get right back to you. Would you like any drinks? I was like, oh, yeah, I'll have a beer. And we'll still, I'll have water. Cool. I was like, all right, great. There's no wait here. No wait at all. It's like, awesome. All right. And then like three other people come to the bar. She's serving those people. And then I was like, hey, excuse me. She's like, yeah, I'll get to you in 1 second once I finish all these people and get them their drinks. I was like, okay. So she gets them their drinks. And then she comes by me, like looks at me, and then goes to serve the other person. And like, this is probably half an hour in already. And I was like, oh, we had the menu was closed up front. And then I got pissed. I was like, you acknowledge, not like the beach club pissed, like where.
You went to the red.
Yeah, but at the beach club, they were like younger, inexperienced.
They were in training.
Totally understand this person. Like,
yeah.
At the restaurant, yep. I was like, they acknowledged the situation and they didn't do anything about it. They looked at me, ignored me, and I was like, threw my credit card, gave a zero tip. So we went to Subway. We had Subway at dinner, and then we went to a very localized restaurant and had a nice glass of wine and whiskey after.
Boom. Yeah. So let's pause it there. It was your wife's first time at that second bar, right?
First time actually at the beach club, not swimming, and the first time at that restaurant, yeah.
So for first impressions, your interaction with individuals can have a lasting impression on different businesses. The first impression of that beach club didn't go so well, unlikely to go back. And then the second stop that you had, that individual ruined future business. So first impressions are far beyond just personal interactions. It has lasting repercussions on many different
entities. And it goes from like, even Alyssa was like, were we overdressed for that place? Like a car dealership, if you underdress, you know, that whole thing. If you go in a car dealership and you're dressed in scrubs, so they come and talk to you. Were we overdressed in that particular situation? So they went to talk to the locals first. And like those conversations we had when we left is.
How did you present yourselves as patrons?
Like, were we assholes? Like, ho. Like, no. Like, we told her, like, oh, we're so hungry. We just came from the beach club.
I just want a burger.
And they still didn't do anything about it. And I was like, that's what pissed me off. I was like, you acknowledged me. You looked at me.
Yeah.
Heard my story.
This is like my third time
there. You knew I was really hungry.
Her first time there. And I was like, we're probably not going back.
Yeah. Well, we also just had some friends FaceTime us the other night. And they had live Beatles in their salad.
That was Nikki.
Bad first impression.
No, that was Nikki. They went to a restaurant.
They ain't going back.
And her husband.
Beatles.
Yeah, her husband, Zach, was like, I'm going to take you on this birthday dinner. You love pasta and Italian food. I'm going to pick these
Never
restaurants.
Never eaten seafood again.
And no, it was Italian. It was an Italian restaurant.
No, it was a seafood restaurant, wasn't
it? No, Italian, because Nikki loves Italian food. Oh, if you know Nikki, Matt.
Right. Well.
So, yes, they went and they like literally had a beetle crawling. I mean, it was not even the first thing, but after the beetle, they decided that they were gonna.
How do you not see that?
Just
when you're the
politely
cook.
Excuse themselves from that restaurant and move on to somewhere else. Beetle. But Zach felt so bad because he was trying to make it special.
Dang, guys,
they're more common.
This was fun. I like talking about first impressions. Anybody that is watching this episode for the first time, I don't always wear crazy shark hats. All right, don't judge me.
Floral though.
A lot of floral. Where's my floral tonight?
Don't let him lie to you. He loves this hat. We got it from Costa Rica. It's actually a kid's hat, and he won't give it to our son because he loves it so much.
Our son has a monkey hat.
Yes, but Matt chose this children's hat for himself. So
that's funny.
It is a good hat. It you know, it's very suiting to you.
It's good.
It makes me think of you.
You guys look nice too. Very good first impression.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, have a great night. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Please be sure to follow us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Like, subscribe. Have a great night.
Thanks for being here. And don't forget about that liking app. They probably like you more than you think.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.